Welcome, everyone. This is the 28th day of November, our conference call after Thanksgiving, and we are very thankful to be together. We are very thankful for one another and all the love we share, for all the blessings we receive, and for the love of God that holds us up every day of our life. So, I just wanted to say, I am very thankful for you. And it means a lot to me when I show up on this call and I see all of these, well, equivalents of a smiling face. I see your names and numbers looking at me on the board, and I'm thinking, oh, hello, everybody. And it's great you're here, and I'm so glad to be here myself. As always, I just want to welcome everyone, including new people, because I can see we've got some numbers here without names on them. So I know we've got new people attending, and I am thankful for that. And I just want to welcome you, let you know there's nothing you have to do except to show up and open up and receive. From time to time, I go through what's involved in receiving the blessing, but it doesn't matter if you don't know. Just be here, open your heart, and receive, and that's really all there is to it. And we like to kind of warm up the room while everybody's getting here with calls from our community. If you want to speak and didn't read the instructions coming in, the way you get on is *6 and then 1, and that will put you in the queue. And I will open your line as soon as we get to you in line. So we've got a couple of people already, and I'm sure there will be more. There always are. Stephen, I'm going to open your line first. It's so good to hear from you. Hello.
Well, hello, Glenda. So happy to be here as always, and so blessed to be part of the community. I just have a blessing request for my good friend Shane and his wife Vanessa. As you know, as I've said many times on these calls, they are, you know, struggling with Vanessa's overcoming lung cancer, and they're going through some ups and downs with that, but I just wanted to put an extra blessing in for Vanessa for her abilities to heal and work with all the doctors. She's doing very cutting-edge therapies and clinical trials. She was, fortunate to be able to donate a lot of money to a Harvard clinical trial, and so she's part of that, and I just hope that that works out for them. And I just feel grateful too. I just feel that, you know, the blessings in Yeshua and God and the angels have allowed me to transition and move to a new location that I feel really welcomed by and comfortable in. So I'm really grateful for that. So that's about it. That's all I want to say. Thank you so much.
Well, that's a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. And we love you so much. We know that the love will attract even more love, and that will attract even more love, and you'll be fine. That's kind of the way it works.
Yeah, you can say that again. It's been a big transition for me the last couple months. I've gone through, oh boy, like 20 years of stuff, purging things. It feels so good to be a lot lighter, as we all know. And so that was a big process for me. You know, it's always good to get. I remember listening to somebody a long time ago. He used to talk about the law of vacuum, and this law was that get rid of what you don't want so you can make room for what you do want. Right? It's a universal principle. And so it's I can feel that new things are coming because I've let go of a lot of old stuff. So it's great.
That's great. Okay, well, I know I'm going to be following you soon in that process. It's just, we're biding our time to take every step through and make sure that all possibilities have been examined. You know, sometimes our human mind will get really fixed on, it has to be just one way and not another way. And so we overlook many possibilities that were there all along. And then after we get through the process, we look back and say, oh my gosh, but I could have done that and that and that. Why didn't I even think about it? Well, it's because so often when we're in a crisis, whether it's a medical crisis, a financial crisis, a life transition crisis, we are so focused upon that particular issue and the fact that it has normally, under most conditions, been solved a particular way, that we push on it. And we have so much of our attention on that, that we fail to relax and open ourselves to other possibilities. And I'm just as guilty of this as anybody that walks down Main Street, really. We all are, actually. We focus upon the thing we think will work the most, and we put everything in it. We invest our time, our hope, our prayers, and we say, oh God, can you just please make this happen? When God had three other plans for you that could have been so much easier, and we didn't even look at it, didn't even consider it. Well, I'm trying to teach myself. I'm using this situation to teach myself more options for relaxing and moving in other possibilities for similar but different results. And so I know exactly what you've been through. And I'm hoping to perfect a better method of moving through it. And I'll give everybody a report soon. I mean, the verdict is going to happen really, really soon. We're down to the final chapter in all of this unfolding for me. But Stephen, here in my prayers as always, and I also want to bring a message to you. I had a special request from Nancy Freeborg. I don't know if our familiar attendees in the community remember, but last week and the week before, she was extremely troubled with family in the hospital. Their infant girl, Isla, was in terrible danger of an illness that had afflicted her in the hospital, a serious, serious condition. And she wanted you to know that Isla is home and doing just fine. And she attributes it to all the love and prayers that were sent to her. Addie, her other granddaughter, that they were very, very worried about, is just fine. And their newborn, River Ann, is just perfect. So she wanted you to know that she's exhausted, and almost everybody else in the family is, that all the adults are exhausted from taking care of the baby. But the babies are well, and the adults are resting. So she couldn't be here today, but she wanted the news to be passed on because she is so grateful for your love, your support, and your prayers.
Oh, thank you for saying that. Thank you so much, Glenda. That means so much for me. Thank you.
You are so welcome. All right. Well, we're going to open the line from Eva. Hello, dear Eva.
Hi, I just want to say thank you so much for last week. I was asking for a blessing because I was getting a little bit discouraged with my situation. And this week was a lot better, working better with my mental attitude about what's going on. And that's good. So thank you. Thank you very much. And I also had mentioned my friend Clara. She's 94. She was in the hospital with COVID, and now she's been in rehab, and she exhausted her rehab time, and she would not do the rehab, and she says she can't do it, and she's just in bed most of the time, and I would really like more blessings for her. And I think something that may be hampering her is she's had this what she calls her spirit guide for years, and she talks to him. Her caretaker used to say she talks to him all day long, And when she's in the hospital before, she had been in the hospital some time back, and she said her spirit guide said she should go home, and she actually fought them to do that, and then she had to come back into the hospital after they finally gave in to her sort of temper tantrum about it. If there's anybody that can remotely help her with this situation and remove this entity or whatever it might be that keeps telling her things that are not true, that would be really appreciated. I had cleaned her apartment out at one time when she was in the hospital before, and things had gotten a little bit better for a while, her caretaker said, but it just seems to come back. So blessings for that, and see if she can become clear of whatever this is that is really not giving her the truth, and finding some way to find the real truth about life.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, reality is a little different on every plane of existence. We are in what is essentially a three-dimensional reality with matter, energy, time, and space, providing the infrastructure for our actions and our reality. And those of us who have had higher perceptions and experiences of life know that three-dimensional reality is not all there is to existence. And it's not always what we could call the truth. But it is a functional truth. And in my experience with working spiritually, I have found that sometimes souls are entities or life forces, different but similar in all their ways, can actually attempt to help us, but they are out of touch with third dimensional reality. They bring in their thoughts of what would be the best thing to do, and it would be on their level, but it's not the best thing to do on this level. So I find that with my own family and close associates I've had, the walls between the third, fourth, and fifth dimensions become very thin, because we're actually getting ready to pass through them ourselves. We're getting ready to step over the great divide. We're getting ready to move up to another dimension. And often we become so enchanted, and I think that is the correct word, enchanted with the higher dimensions, that we forget to apply the rules to this one. And we forget that other people we share life with on this dimension have a certain way of predicting or managing the way life will unfold. So it's something I have found in working with children and elderly people. When I was back in the days when I was painting people's personal angel, there were large paintings of angels that were a person's personal angel or guardian angel. And I would do an interview because I had to make sure I was really contacting their angel and not just an angel. So we would do an in-depth interview, and it would usually draw a blank card at first. It was like, well, I don't know. I just kind of feel when they're present, but I wouldn't know how to describe the presence or describe my angel. And so I would say, well, let's go back to when you were a child. 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. Did you talk to your angel then? Oh, yes, I did. I did. And you know, mommy would tell me not to. She would tell me that that's just imagination. And I would just start keeping it to myself. I wouldn't tell mommy or daddy or my brother or sister, because they would tell me I was crazy. And I would say, well, you know what? You weren't crazy. What it was is that you hadn't fully moved in to the third dimension yet. So you and your angel were still best friends. They were helping you transition into this dimension, and they were going to make sure you got here safely. Well, see, that's what begins to happen on the other side of the equation. But not everybody, just because they're in the fourth, fifth, or sixth dimension, is a perfect soul. You know, the way people are in this world on a soul level is exactly they will be the way they will be when they transition to a higher level. They just won't have the third dimensional problems that make their personality a little more challenging. But they're going to be the same. If they haven't resolved certain things in their soul, they're still going to be that way. It doesn't all of a sudden make you perfect because you go to this fourth or fifth levels of existence or you enter the gates of heaven. You'll be greeted by angelic therapists who are going to take you into review your life, review the Akashic records, review everything that came upon you, give you a chance to reevaluate your actions. See, it doesn't all go away just because you go to heaven. So not everybody on the other side is capable of giving you perfect advice. This is the main reason so many, well, I want to be careful how I say this. So many people who practice conventional religion, conventional Christianity, are kind of afraid of us talking to people on the other side. And they'll ban it. They'll banish it. I don't like that because it limits our experience of life. It limits our existence. But, you know, they're not entirely wrong. They're not, you know. And it's not like these spirits are demons. They're just people who were, they're souls who were ordinary human beings 50 years ago. And now they're souls who are trying to work out their limitations and move to a higher place by helping people on earth. But that doesn't mean they're perfect. It doesn't mean they've got the truth. It means they're there with a caring heart. And I think, you know, we can become really enchanted with that and take it too far. I've known a lot of people who got into mystical, shall we say, mystical mindsets, who were in the so-called New Age movement. And God bless all of them. I really, really appreciate the contributions because we needed to break out of the limited mindset of conventional thinking. Oh, boy, brother, did we need to break out of that. And the holistic healers and the people who brought new spiritual technology are invaluable. But the fact is, some people who followed that line of thinking really became enchanted with the other realm. I know of what, I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. This is probably the far side of what's possible, but it actually did happen, and I know the woman and the family it happened to. She had been told in a dream that the angels were going to pick her up. And, well, she was on the verge of losing, something was really, she was losing her job, going to lose her home. I've forgotten what it was, but she was on the verge of having a catastrophic failure in three-dimensional life. Okay, so she had a dream that the angels were going to come and pick her up. And so she and her children locked the door and sat on the stoop all night waiting for the angels to come pick her up. In the meantime, or just before they did that, she had signed her property over to whoever was going to take it. She didn't fight. She just sat on the stoop waiting for the angels to come and pick her up. Well, they didn't come. And she was dispossessed of her home and became homeless, and her children and her pets were homeless. And that's a situation of enchantment that your story, Eva, kind of reminds me of. And I had the opportunity to counsel her, because not only did she lose her home, she lost her faith. Because when she lost that faith in the guise that she took to be her saving grace didn't show up, she was practically ready to take her life. And so we had to really help her discern the difference between faith in God and faith in all forms of spiritual entities, which may have very good intentions, but they're still working on the truth themselves. And they may not have it all themselves. And so it really does require wisdom. And it requires wisdom to know who and what you're having faith in. This is one of the reasons I share with you my troubles, to let you know I'm human. I'm just like you. I'm in this three-dimensional world. And, you know, if I stub my toe, it hurts. If I have a financial problem, I have to worry about it. Because we are told in the Bible not to test God. We're told not to do that. And actually, Yeshua virtually said the same thing when he banished Satan from the temptations. He was in the desert having his frequent break from the world. And this was near the end of his life, where he knew that he was going to be facing something very, very drastic. Well, the devil came to him and he said, you could save yourself. Look out across the valley and the hills. You could own all of this. You have the power to rule the world. You could push back the army. And Yeshua said, but I did not come here to exercise that kind of power. I came to serve my Father's will. Virtually, he said, not by my will it be done. And that is Jesus Christ saying, not by my will salvation come. By my Father's will, it will come. This is why we're told not to test God. See, sometimes the spirits that come in, and they're not 100%. They're not 100% right, not 100% perfect. But they'll say, oh, trust me. Yeah, I've seen it all. You can do exactly what I said. Well, that's when you need to turn a deaf ear. That's when you really need to look back at the reality you know, and you can manage or not manage, but at least you know what the situation is because you're looking at it. God actually did us a favor by giving us a three-dimensional world that we could weigh and measure, that we could actually count the footage on, we could count the duration on. It's kind of like putting a child in a nursery room where it's all kid-proof now, and you can decide which toys to play with because, you know, they're all given to you in your domain. And that's why we have to be very careful sometimes about reaching beyond that domain. Now, getting back to Yeshua and Satan, he said, get behind me. In other words, you're not important. I don't look to you for advice. We're going to listen to you, because actually you have to understand, and most people don't get this, Satan was actually right. Yeshua could have commanded the world. He could have conquered the armies. He could have sent them away. So everything Satan said was right, but it wasn't the right thing to do. And there's a very big difference. Very big difference. And it's the difference between pursuing your will or surrendering to the will of God. And this is what Yeshua did in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed, and I'm sure part of his prayer had to do with, Father, I really, really don't want to go through this. If there's any way I can be saved, I'm open to receiving. I follow your will. But in the end, your will be done. Whatever is your will, I shall do. And he surrendered. And the armies came, and he could have pushed them away, or he could have simply done a vanishing act. He could have walked over their heads and been gone. He could have done any number of things to move into another dimension where they couldn't see. But he didn't. He surrendered. So, you know, I'm called to mention this because there's a very big difference between faith and miracles and pretended faith and magic. This is really illustrated later on in the life of the apostles, where Peter had to push aside. I don't know that we could say he condemned, but he certainly did derogate the magician Magus, who was performing magic acts and pretending they were miracles. Well, Peter didn't like that because, well, first of all, magic acts distract us into thinking that miracles are magic. They're not. They're really a transformation of existence and have nothing to do with just illusion or sleight of hand. Yeshua would not work a miracle on those who did not have faith. He simply wouldn't, because he was not going to do a sleight of hand. I'm sure he could have. He could have done anything he wanted to, but he didn't. He was extremely faithful to the ways of God, right down to the very end. And the power of God is the power that pulled him out of the tomb. So I'm not entirely sure why I was taking this tour, but I'm sure there are people in our audience who have found that this was perfect for you, because I most definitely was taken here. And thank you, Eva, for giving me an opportunity. It's not a subject I would have chosen on my own, but I know that it's extremely relevant. I went through this with my mother for maybe as much as 10 years, off and on, not all the time. She would come back to three-dimensional reality, but she had some very powerful voyages, and we went to some very interesting places. Okay, well, we will pray for Clara, and we pray for you and your family and for everything in your life to have a better prospect with every coming day. If there's anyone else who wants to log in, it's *6 and then 1, and you're on. We have Stormy online, but I usually save Stormy for our benediction. So we've got room for another caller. Okay. Well, Mario, I see you're here. Hello, dear. You're on.
Hi, Glenda. It's Mario calling from Vermont. And I am just asking for prayers for... It's a health issue. I have hurt my back, and so it's just an issue of healing, or maybe getting a new bed. I'm not sure which, but it's a combination of things.
to be.
So I need help with that.
Sometimes it really is three-dimensional reality. And, you know, I have taken a look at that many, many times, and I found it was the answer. And then other times, it's something only God can do.
Hmm.
And in between those two prospects, there are many wonderful people who have a sacred touch. And, you know, we thank them for their dedication in life to bring about many other opportunities for our health and well-being. So blessings to you, Mario, and I will remember you in the blessing. Okay, Tara Kim, hello, and your line is open.
Hello. Hi, Glenda. Hello, everyone. Thank you for the continued blessings. Really appreciating them. I would just like to ask for continued blessings for my family today again. And add on one couple that we know that actually got COVID. Their names are Rob and Sharon Dargan, D-A-R-G-A-N. And the man has really got a bad case of it right now and stuff. So that would be helpful for a blessing for them as well.
Oh, yes. Where are they living?
Trevor, Wisconsin. That's T as in Tom, R-E, V as in Victor, O-R, in Wisconsin.
Okay. It kind of helps. I like to have a location, but, you know,
yeah.
I don't know why. God knows where they are, but.
<It's fine>. Great. Thank you so much.
Sure. And blessings to you too, Tarkam. Thank you so much for being here. And we have a caller. Yeah?
Oh, and you got my family on the list again, right?
Oh, yes. And your dog.
Okay. Yes, then you got it. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, we don't forget your furry friend. You know.
No,
they're
for
important
sure.
too. I know. They complete our life. All right,
yes,
my
sir.
Dear. And we've got a call from Novato, California. Hello.
Hi, Glenda. Thank you so much for all your wonderful teachings and blessings. My name is Caroline. I'm actually calling from Hawaii right now. And the question I had is about some of the meditation practices in your wonderful book, Keys of Jeshua. The tradition that I've studied, which was more Taoist-based, you tend to start at the head and move down to the feet. And I noticed in the meditations that you describe, you do it the other way around. Does it matter whether you start from the feet and go to the head or the head down to the feet? Will it work either way, the kinds of practices that you talk about?
It will work either way. The reason I don't actually know that I have a consciously held reason, but from conducting the blessing and many, many blessings that I conducted years before we had a blessing service, I really drew energy from the earth to help make me ready to receive the energy of heaven. And it actually works both ways in all blessings. It's kind of like this. Most people don't realize that lightning does not begin in the sky. It is the electromagnetic field on the earth that draws the lightning bolt down from the sky. And by priming the electromagnetic field up from the earth through the feet, we are more anchored in that which will draw the energy down from the heavens. So it's kind of like that principle, and there's a reason why our feet have all of the acupressure points of the body on between both feet. Every point in our body can be reached because our feet are what draw us into this electromagnetic field that our Mother Earth is offering us. I go out so often to do my chores and my running around in town or to do whatever I need to do. I come home, the first thing I can't wait to do is take my shoes off. I gotta be directly on the floor. And I don't even have to lie down and take a rest or a nap. I'm good as soon as I take my shoes off, because I'm drawing that energy up from the earth. And I try to be mindful as much as I can about the shoes and socks I wear, but today most of the soles on shoes are, they're composite. They're composite artificial substances, so they do interfere with the earth's magnetic field. But sometimes I can be out and I just take them off anyway. I sit in my car for a little while without my shoes on and I feel ready to take the road on again. So I didn't formally decide on doing it from the ground up. And I really understand meditations do come from the crown chakra down. But at some point you do need to connect with the earth, because that's what will draw the energy down for you. That's where the parentheses, it's like a set of parentheses on both sides of your body. And that's where the other parenthetical energy is, below your feet. Okay.
Well,
that's about all
that
I have
was
to
great.
Say.
Yeah. No, that was a great explanation. Thank you so much. So I think I'll try doing it top to bottom then, and see how that works out. That sounds like it's I can see exactly why you're recommending that. It makes perfect sense.
Well, it actually empowers. By the time it gets up to the crown, it connects with the higher energy in a more powerful way, and that the crown is already open at that point. And then you pull it down, and it's like a waterfall. It just gushes.
Great.
So give it a try. Give it a try and see what you think.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And thank you again for those fabulous books that you've written. They were, for me, they were a game changer. So there you go.
Well, I think they were a game changer for many, many people. I feel honored to have been a scribe for the one who gave us the greatest messages we ever received. So it's my privilege. And very nice to meet you, too.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to open the line to Sarah. Hello, dear Sarah.
Aloha, dear Glenda and beloved community. I wanted to just send my love and my blessings to this community. I'm so grateful to be here. And I wanted to ask for a blessing for me and for all my brothers and sisters who can relate to this one of just financial, right, our financial concerns and worries and just taking good care of our homes and having everything we need in balance to really, not worry about money, just keep on moving and letting life take care of itself. So blessing for that, and also a blessing, please, for me and for everyone who can relate to this one, of just to be able to ask for what I need a bit more. I find it challenging sometimes to express my needs, and so support and blessing for that for all of us.
Oh, thank you, and of course, you know, I've found that people who are working on the higher dimensions often have more struggle on the third dimension, because we're not putting all of our attention on it. Pardon me, I just had to take a little drink. You know, if the third dimension is kind of a brat. It's like a spoiled child. It wants all of our attention. And if we take some attention off of it, it throws a tantrum. I mean, it really does. It really does. And so many of us who are working on a higher path, a greater aspiration for moving up, we get some of these tantrums. We get some of these difficulties and restrictions and restraints. And we have to say, okay. I mean, do I really, really have to go through that? You know, look at the life of the apostle. You know, the more you take your attention off of this world, the more it tries to close in upon you and say, come back now. This is where you belong. And if you say, oh, no, I don't. I do not belong here. Well, as Yeshua said, I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. And he was very powerful, more powerful than any of us. And yet, you know, he suffered. He could create abundant miracles, but only to demonstrate faith, and really only for others, not to implement his will, but to implement the will of God. And so, he could multiply the fishes, but he wasn't going to come here and make himself into a private little chamber of acceptances where he didn't suffer. He walked the path everybody else walked. He walked in sandals on dusty roads. He slept beside the road with a knapsack from whatever he carried in his knapsack. And, you know, he would sit up at night with the apostles and answer their many questions and give them blessings and teach them what they needed to know. And then they would get on with the next day. But they walked the path you and I walk. Apostles continued to walk the path you and I walk. And the more we reach above it, the more the world comes in and says, oh, no, you don't. So I just want to say, do not think you're being punished. Do not think you're being punished. You are certainly not being punished by God. You're not being punished by the angel. You're not being punished by anybody or anything that knows what you're doing, because actually the way out is the way up. Good. The way to get captured is to just stay focused on this world and nothing else. I say prayers every day for the bureaucratic lifestyle that some people have to live, because they are so focused on the fact that this bureaucratic procedure is the answer to peace on earth. Oh, my Lord. What they're going to have to go through when they finally discover the answer is not there. You know? It's true.
Yeah.
So even though those of us who struggle to move up may be having some hardships in the world, you're going to be the first that walks into the kingdom of heaven. And just know that you are doing the right thing. Just remember to keep one foot in the world so that you will be accountable for your life and you can make decisions that are relevant to that part of your life. Don't be like the woman who signed away her property and sat with her kids on the front porch. You know, we're not ready to do that because you're testing God when you do that. If God will tell us when he's ready. In the meantime, we walk in both worlds. And that's the best advice I can give you, is find out how to walk in both worlds. Keep one foot in the third dimensional world. Do your best to pay your bills, to have an honorable profession that provides service to your fellow man and learning for yourself and make you feel gratified about the life you've lived, and to leave behind in this world a legacy of what you came to do and what you shared with others. And you can look back and say, so be it. That's what I did, and I'm glad I did it. But you keep another leg on a higher step, and you're moving up, and you're looking for higher and greater perspectives that gives you the bigger picture on life. That's the best advice I can give you.
That's great. God victory.
Okay, my dear. Well, what are we supposed to bless for you?
Oh, just that. Just what you just did. Yep. That's okay. A blessing right there.
All right. Yes.
Thank you.
Bless you,
Glenda.
All right. Bless your pathway to that it may be satisfactory in the third dimension and fulfilling in all the dimensions above.
Aho.
Aho. Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to open the light, Stormy. Yeah, Stormy, you always have a wonderful benediction for us before we enter our actual blessing. So what do you have to say today?
When I woke up this morning, the first thing I thought was about what would Glenda like on the blessing call today? And I thought I would bring some humor after the conversation today. And, you know, I live on Saturn. I work on Jupiter. And I'm just wondering, what is this third dimension that y'all are talking about?
Well... it's the room you live in, the bed you sleep on, the food you eat, the people you talk to that don't have the slightest awareness of all these other things you talk about.
I just know so many people who know me so well, they go, what planet are you from? And I just thought, you know, well, I'll work on Saturn, live on Saturn, work in Jupiter, and you know, what's this third dimension
y'all are talking about? Well, Stormy, you do have shoes you walk on, and you have actually minimized your connection to the third dimension, but you are there. You are there, and we're glad to have you because you helped to soften the boundary.
Okay, thanks for showing me the way.
Yeah. So you're a value on all dimensions, Stormy.
Oh, yeah. And, just bringing some humor into it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're valuable on all the dimensions, and that's the point. That's the point of what we're talking about, is that we are multidimensional beings. But it really helps if we know which dimension we're providing our service to and which dimension other people are pressing on us for, you know. If I'm in the hospital, I'm going to talk to the doctors in their language. That's all they understand. I'm going to talk to the nurses in their language because it's all they understand. And they will feel appreciated more if I talk to them in their language. If I come on to them like, well, you don't matter because I've got the angels working for me. They're going to say, well, okay, I guess I don't matter. I'll see you later. You know, really. Really, Stormy, we have to, this part of appreciation, it's part of understanding, it's part of acceptance and appreciation that we are here for one another. And it wouldn't matter that we were here for one another if everybody could just fly away. The reason it matters that we care for one another is because we're in the same boat, flowing down the same river. And there are rocks in the river, but we help steer each other away from the rock. We help to bail water out of the boat. We help to, with the navigation, we help to have rations in the boat to keep us alive till we get where we're going. So these are the issues of life with it that we all deal with. And that's why Yeshua said, love one another. You've got to love one another to get through it all. It's why when he came here, he didn't keep himself in an ivory palace of higher reality where he avoided the common man. No, he sat with the lepers. He broke bread with the poor who maybe only had one slice of bread to break. And I'm not sure in every case he even multiplied the slices of bread. He may have actually not wanted to disrespect the poverty that other people had to deal with. Sometimes it's really important to respect what other people have to deal with because it gives them strength. It gives them courage. And it allows them to know that they are loved without having to be any different than they are. And one of the things I really loved about the work of Vincent van Gogh is how he painted the poor, how he painted the people who had, you would think, they had no hope at all on this world, the people that worked in the coal mines. And the ones he, the painting called the potato eaters. They worked in the mines during the day, and all they had to eat at night was potatoes. Their hands were blackened with soot, and you could see the soot on their faces, and probably there was no place to bathe, and not enough water probably even to thoroughly wash their hands. They lived with the soot of the mine, and they ate potatoes when the day was over. But Van Gogh created nobility in those faces. He saw beyond the outer structure of human adversity into the soul of the person. And not just that, he painted people. He painted the postman, and he painted the bartender. He painted people in the most ordinary ways of life. Just doing life, and yet he saw in each person nobility. And that's what I'm talking about, everybody, is that you may not like what you see when you look in the mirror, because it's just going to reflect the surface. You may say, oh, wow, have I aged that much in the last 5 years? And I'm not looking in you, and I'm not looking in this mirror anymore. Well, it's not the fault of the mirror, the thing is, you're not looking beyond the mirror. You're not appreciating the smiles people have when you walk in the room because they love you. Because you bring hope and charity and faith. And their kind of acceptance that makes them feel respected. You bring that into the room. And so they see you, and it's like you walk in with a ray of sunshine. And that's what they are the mirror you need to be looking at. Not the glass with mercury behind it, but the faces of people who love you. They're the mirror. And the other mirror you can look into is the Spirit of God. After you've put yourself into prayer, and you've been in prayer for a little while, and you've just forgotten about your troubles of the world, and your faith is entirely in God, and you come out refreshed, and you see light in front of you. Well, that light is a reflection of you. That's the real mirror. God is showing you who you are to Him. You're feeling love in the room. And you say, oh, well, that's just the love of God. No, that's God reflecting you back to yourself. So that you can see the love that you are. All of these things are mirroring. The appreciation people have for the work you do, the gratitude people have for the gifts you give, those are the mirrors you need to be looking in. And you will see that regardless of the years, there's a vibrant, fresh, and radiant soul walking on this earth. And the name of that soul is love. And that love is you. It's who you really, really are. And so, as we walk into this blessing, we're going to be here in the Spirit of Christ, allowing ourselves to be received as the love that we are in the presence of the gracious and all-embracing Holy Spirit, that we are taken to the throne of God as children surrounding it with hearts of love looking into the face of our Father and our Father looking at us and saying, bless you, my child. I love you now. I love you always. And that's the way it will always be. So let's get ready for our blessing today. How about that? Let's just relax. Sit back in your chair, on your bed, or wherever you are, in your hammock. You call the place. Now take a deep breath. Expand your lungs as far as they can go. Press against your diaphragm until you can feel it move. Hold it for a few seconds. And then begin to release the air through your mouth. Release it into the world as a way of emptying everything that you don't need, giving it back to the world of experience that can use your experience to benefit itself. Whatever you have experienced will be of value to someone. I promise you that. We are here to experience and give value to the world. But now we're going to take another deep breath. Very deep and hold it. Press it against your diaphragm. Now this is going to be a breath of life. Release it very slowly, giving life back to the world around you. Now inhale again through your nose. Very, very deep. Why do we inhale through our nose? Well, there's a good reason. Because when we pull air in from our nose with our mouth closed, it activates all of the muscles that can expand your lungs and extend your diaphragm. It activates the muscles in your rib cage to expand. It just does a lot more work in your chest than inhaling through your mouth does. So taking it in through your nose will create a greater expansion. And the mouth is really the best way to simply release and give back. This time we're giving back love. We take a deep breath again, expanding our lungs and our diaphragm. This time we take in energy, the higher energy of creation, that has the power to work through our life in any way we need it to work. And then we give back that energy to the world. Now just relax. Continue your breathing in any way that you see it, however you see it. And I would ask the blessing givers to join me, so that we conduct the blessing together. And I will give my prayer to Yeshua. Dear Yeshua, Son of God, elder brother to all of humanity, we thank you for your gracious gift in coming here to show us who we really are and how we really can be. We know that you surrendered to all the things that we face in life and kept your faith always in your Father. that our level of existence may be redeemed and we may discover the greater portion of who we are, that which is our divine potential held within the heart of every person, our ultimate potential in life. We thank you for showing us the way and for being with us in life, that we look for the way as we go through our life. We admit we're often distracted by pressures of the world. And we thank you for being beside us and nudging us to look higher and further beyond our predicament. We ask that you nudge everybody on this planet so that they may look a little higher and look deeper within the self for a greater potential to move into the true meaning of their life and the real solutions for the problems therein. We thank you for all of the nourishment that is on this planet and ask that our hearts may be open to share it. We thank you for all of the healing modalities we have been given. And we ask that you expand our understanding to bring even higher healing modalities, that we all may have better and greater options for extending our life and discovering the miraculous potential of this human body we have been given to work and serve in. We thank you for this community, which has blessed the lives of so many people. We thank you for your word, your gifts, your message that encourages us and lifts us higher and higher to become all that we may be. And now we surrender just to receive your grace, your divine presence, and the miraculous divinity of the Holy Spirit. May we receive all of his gifts and wondrous miracles that bring to us the grace of our Heavenly Father. Amen. Everyone, and blessing givers, let us begin now. You say your prayer as we are conducting the energy. Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing is complete. Well, it's been given. It's not complete yet. You need to go and rest for at least 7 minutes. Just be open. Allow it to fill your whole body, heart, and soul. Let the grace of God write on the whiteboard of your life all that can be given, all that will be given. And surely will bless your life. I wish you a lovely week this week. And I hope you'll be back to receive more blessings next Sunday. So bye-bye for now. God bless you.